Hi everyone, it's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney Plus. In this video, we're going to be talking all about Thor Ragnarok. We're getting ready for Loki coming to Disney Plus on June the 11th. I'm going to kind of jump in and why not have a good excuse to do it. Me and Jeremy have already talked about Thor and Thor Dark World. And we've also talked about Avengers. But so let's now talk about Thor Ragnarok. Watching this back, I'm just going, and I think for me as well, having watched all three Thor movies over the, and even, you know, the Avengers movies as well, how much Thor had changed during these movies. I mean, he's almost a different character from the first one, but it all makes sense of him growing as a hero. And, you know, this, I mean, the humor, I mean, this movie just, I just still go, I love this movie. This is so cool. It's not your typical MCU and the humor and all the rest, but it works so well. I mean, I just love this movie. I love the whole vibe, the visual effects, the comedy. You know, it's so weird, but I love it.
Oh, it's a great movie. It's easily the best of the Thor movies. I would put it near the top of the MCU movies in general. It's just really, really fun. You can really tell that Taika had a big hand in crafting it, and his humor comes through so well. I know this was the introduction for many people to his directorial style. I had seen What We Do in Shadows, which was his Australian independent film, or New Zealand independent film, sorry. And so I knew the humor coming in, but he's such a funny guy.
See, I've seen I'm just having a look here, just trying to think of what movie it was. There was a New Zealand film that he did that I'd seen before, that he brought in the woman from it, Hunt for the Wilder People.
I'm not familiar with that one.
So that one, the actual actress, the New Zealand actress who is the Grandmaster's sidekick in the one that's like, she was in that one. So I kind of, that's where I knew. So I, in some way, and I mean, since then we've had Jojo Rabbit, which is another fantastic movie of his. He did some of The Mandalorian. You know, he's done some interesting things. And this Thor Ragnarok is just so good, because I think it leans on the fact of Thor becoming a bit more of a person. You know, he's, you know, when you depower him a little bit, he becomes more humanized, but also, you know, him realizing that he doesn't need the hammer. And I mean, I thought, you know, sort of the villain Hela was kind of, she's so much better when I watched it, like, I don't know, this might be the sixth or seventh time, but I really do like her as a villain. I'm hoping they haven't actually killed her off. I'm hoping that at some point she might come back. It looked very kind of final.
it did look kind of final. She had a 300 foot sword smashed into her entire body,
and the entire planet destroyed. So, you know,
and the sword was on fire too. Yeah. So, you know, she's probably dead, but now that we're messing with time travel a bit, you never know.
Technically, like, did it happen?
I don't know. Yes, it did happen. That's not the point.
The only thing is with that one, it did get me like, the big guy destroyed her, but Thor didn't seem to have any problem defeating him. He just ripped his head off.
Well, so the difference was he didn't have the immortal flame when Thor fought him. And then, of course, at the end of the movie, he did. And so he was like hyper-powered and super-powered. Yeah. And of course, they're also playing with the themes of prophecy and fate and so on. And the destruction of Ragnarok. the destruction of Asgard in Ragnarok, which is what I meant to say. Yeah. That's a famous part of Norse mythology, that you can't really escape that one.
No. Yeah, and also that whole idea of like Asgard is not a place, but it's just a home. Obviously we know where what picks up after that event later, you know, like Infinity in Endgame and stuff. But yeah, I just love this movie. You know, they have the whole way of like completely changing the look of Thor, you know, from the traditional, you know, Norse god to he looking modern, short hair, you know, face paint, you know, just different look. One eye,
and it wasn't just the look either, like the attitude was different too. Now he'd always been a bit he'd always been cocky, he'd always been a bit blasé, he'd always kind of had a little off the cuff, not taking things seriously, but they amped it up. like to crazy numbers in Ragnarok, where like the little side snide comments and like, no, Banner's my favorite. I don't Hulk's a jerk. I like Banner, but I kind of need you to be the Hulk. Yeah. You know, yeah. Those little moments really.
And they were like, really, I think, like, you know, when he's the strongest Avenger, mighty Avenger.
Point Blank.
I think it was essentially Hulk's, you know, he's fantastic. I mean, I remember reading Planet Hulk and World War Hulk, the comic book, years ago. So I kind of always knew this. In some ways, I wish they'd done that one better in doing it its own story, because I felt like it was worth it. So this is like the only real way of kind of doing it without kind of bringing in Universal. They kind of did it through the back door, kind of speed up. I mean, we didn't, you know, we haven't had like Hulk's daughter or son or anything being born, but they kind of had it's kind of like Planet Hulk through the back door, wasn't it?
It was, but this way worked a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
We've discussed it previously, but Hulk as a character, we've seen repeatedly, he doesn't really work as the main hero. You can make it work. Like the Ed Norton version is pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoy that one.
But at the same time, Hulk's best scenes are in the Avengers movies. They're in Thor Ragnarok. He works better as the character that other characters play off of. Primarily because if you're just doing the Hulk, he is literally just a rage monster. You don't get too much characterization out of that.
I mean, I did like the fact of him having, having a bit more of a voice and just playing around a little bit. And, you know, Thor definitely going with that one. But there was just so much of this movie that just like, watching it, of just kind of just being caught up in it and just being and really enjoying it, loving the humor, loving the music. I think maybe again being an 80s kid, like growing up on that kind of the soundtrack, you know, instantly just taking you back to like the movies of when I was a kid, of like all the action movies, and you know, that's kind of been lost and playing up on it. And it's just the Grandmaster, he's fantastic in this one as well. And
Jeff Goldblum, yeah.
You know, there's just so much great stuff in this movie. I just, you know, it's so cool, and I can't. It's definitely one of my favorite MCU movies. I just can't, and just watching it back and going, I've seen this movie so many times. You know, and they're jumping around on the ships, flying over it, and Banner's, you know, and even the fact that like, you know, they go, oh, this is his orgy ship, and they go, no, don't touch anything. I'm like, how are they doing this?
I wasn't going to mention it, but they snuck some lines in there. Korg especially had a few lines where I'm not going to repeat the line. Even with that, I'm just like, I can't repeat this line. But when Korg and Thor is explaining how the hammer works, Korg has amazing lines in that. It's like, I've heard
it with that hammer.
I know. Even having seen the movie like 5 or 6 times, I was definitely just like, I still can't believe you got some of those in there. And Korg in general was very entertaining. I'm glad they were able to get him in the end game.
You know, you might be able to rebuild. It's built on foundation. No, it's gone.
Korg is great. The humor in the movie is fantastic.
I also like the fact that he even managed to, because there was another character which had his face, like 3 faces. And I hadn't noticed it till this one, that it was his face in the back on like one of the, he ended up getting killed, but it was like, oh, I didn't notice that the first time around.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have known who he was the first time around. I could do with some more Korg. I hope that Korg plays into Love and Thunder when that comes out. I think we're still a couple of years out from that one, unfortunately. No,
I think it's ended next year.
It definitely shot up to one of the movies that I'm most looking forward to in the MCU current roster. I think that Ragnarok in many ways was kind of a tone shift for the Marvel movies. Like there have been 2 of them. I think the first one was Winter Soldier, when we went from just, you know, regular superheroes to, no, you can do superheroes with something else. We talked about that in more depth in the retro review for that. And then I think Thor Ragnarok was the other one. Now you could argue, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man did a lot, but this was the movie that really just kind of went, no, we're just going to run with this.
I think as well, having it not set on Earth allowed them a lot of freedom of, you know, they could have a little bit more humanity because the level of threat level for Thor wasn't there. And I mean, his interactions with Loki again on this one, you know, like, let's do the help scene. Oh, it's so embarrassing when you do this. You know, like brotherly, like them being snipey little brothers, you know, and like, you know, Loki, like just like his interactions with Hulk, you know, and like being thrown around and just like instantly being scared of Hulk when he saw him, you know, again, just played up. I mean, just plays perfectly into the Loki series coming up. But yeah, I just, you know, every scene they're in, they just like, just, it just got stolen.
Yeah, no, Hulk shows up in the arena and Loki's, I got to get off this planet. I'd have to leave immediately. And then of course the famous slamming scene, he's like, that's what that feels like. That was such a great moment. You can tell it. You could tell Tom Hiddleston was having so much fun with the character.
And I like the whole thing as well, at the beginning of like, you know, like Thor, like knowing that Odin's gone. And then the whole interaction with Doctor Strange. There's so much in this movie of so many different levels of them being, having that relationship. And then just like Loki turning up at the end and going, the savior is here. And you know, you can tell he's loving like the fact of him actually being the hero. You know, he's like, I'm here.
So this is the one problem I have, and it's not a problem with the movie. This is a problem with Loki, not the character, but the actual show. It's like, we had these great moments in this movie. We have the moment of self-sacrifice in Infinity War. He obviously wasn't trying to sacrifice, but that's kind of how it ended up being. But the character that we're getting in the Loki show isn't this Loki, because it happens before that. I'm not sure how they're going to square that.
The only thing is, essentially, I mean, Loki's hundreds of years old. So it's not like he's, and essentially what's happened in Avengers might literally just be like a year or two. So he's obviously gone through the bits and pieces. I still think they'll lean into it a little bit. He will come around because he'll have done it anyway. But he's always a bit sneaky, and we want more of that because I like him being sneaky. But he's that kind of weird thing of, you know, he's just out for himself, and I think that works best. You know, if the situation suits, he'll deal with it, you know, and that's kind of, I like that about him, and just more of it, just more of him. I'm really hoping in this series, just watching Ragnarok and going, yeah, this is what we want, more, just more Loki.
Honestly, I'm sitting here remembering scenes from Ragnarok and kind of containing myself from giggling, honestly. There's so many good scenes in this movie. One other final point is, I think this might actually be the first retro review that you and I have done where we actually have reviewed this previously, because we reviewed this on the Diz Kingdom podcast when it came out in theaters.
Yeah, because it's just like a modern movie kind of thing, but it's kind of fun just going back and watching these all. So if I'm going to give it a score out of 5, I'm like 4.55. I'm in that top tier. I don't tend to like giving out 5s, but this is kind of in that zone of, it probably pretty as close to a 5 as I, because there's like, I just can't think of anything wrong with it. There is that kind of thing. Like, I just really enjoyed this movie. I love it.
The problem with it is that it ended.
Yeah.
I mean, that's honestly, that's the problem with it.
Yeah. It's just so cool. What about you?
4.5 sounds about right. Yeah. There were a couple of things here and there, small things you can nitpick, and I think that there are some MCU movies that I rank higher than it, so they'd be closer to the 5, but this is such a solid movie, and you don't even have to have seen any of the other Thor movies. You don't have to have seen any of the MCU movies. Obviously you will get more out of them, particularly in the interactions with Banner, not the Hulk, but Banner. But you could just watch this cold, and I think most people would still be highly entertained by it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. As I said, thank you very much for watching. Make sure you go check us out over at whatsondisneyplus.com. Also join us over on like Twitter and Facebook. Big thank you to all of our supporters on Patreon and YouTube channel members who get early access to these episodes as a perk of being a supporter. So big thank you for all of that. And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you guys soon. Laters.
Later. Later.